Praise the Lord. I hope you enjoyed just worshiping the Lord this morning together. Just as we were singing, it's probably the theme of what we're going through it right now, in the eye of the storm. And, you know, He remains in control, doesn't He? The Lord Jesus is in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the war. He's right with us, and He's our anchor. And so keep that in mind as we go and look a little bit through it, what we're facing here. I've written a few things out, which I usually do. We all know we're facing an unseen enemy. I have, just like you, listened to all kinds of our different presentations we hear from the leaders in our own nation, and we know what's going on around the world. And it seems to me that a lot of people are getting extremely nervous and anxious because that is an enemy which they don't know. It's unseen. And what a presentation we have been able to watch over the last few days as people trying to kind of explain what's going on. Well, that's what I actually did the last 2 years with you, as we were looking to the supernatural, as we were looking to the unseen realm, as we were looking at how there is an unseen enemy that is doing its work while we can't see it. The work is being done. And so we're going to look this morning a little bit at that and give you hope, because the enemy is not seen by us, but God certainly has His eye on it. So what are we facing right now? Well, one of the thing is that we face a virus. It's spiritual as well as physical, biological. So viruses are normally small bacteria. They require a host, they tell us, and obviously normally the host, that's us, that's people. Sometimes it could also attack maybe animals, plants, but so the virus cannot survive unless there is a host. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that if the enemy, our spiritual enemy, wouldn't find a host, he wouldn't survive? There would be no way to land or do his dirty work. While the virus, which we're talking about in the biological, invades some cells and takes over the machinery of the cells and redirecting it to produce a problem in our bodies. The problem is with what we are hearing in the world is when it affects us, when we are infected, we don't know it. It will take maybe 8, 10, 14 days, they tell us, before symptoms arrive. And I couldn't help but think, that is exactly how the enemy works, the spiritual enemy. It will penetrate us with thoughts primarily. If you're a born-again believer, a follower of Jesus, the enemy will normally infiltrate us and infect us with thoughts that are not godly. Paul tells us when he wrote to the Corinthians that we ought to make sure that we take every thought captive. That means we arrest it, we do not elaborate on it, we do not entertain it, we do not dig ourselves deeper and deeper into the hole, but what we are actually doing is we take it and we say, that is a temptation from the enemy for me to go in a certain direction. Let's apply that maybe to the situation we're facing right now. How many people, when they hear that this virus could actually hit the family, they don't know, but just the very thought that he could builds anxiety, builds worries, builds insecurities. Case in point, how did the people react, especially in the United States of America? The minute they thought it could affect them in any way, shape, or form, they stormed out of the house and they stormed into the streets and they stormed into the stores and they bought about everything they could get their hands on. That is what tells me that despite the fact that it has not touched them yet, the very thought that he could, the very thought that he could made them move. Some of them maybe have toilet papers for the next 25 years. Others maybe bought food they never need, and it maybe spoils. And it does not matter really what's reality. What really matters is the way they respond to it. Look at our spiritual life. It's the same thing. The enemy is putting thoughts into our minds, and those thoughts will trigger more thoughts. And if we can't arrest them, what it will do to you and me is we are going to be driven by those thoughts and not by reality. It's simple what we perceive to be. And I think the time we're living in right now, it's so crucial that perception, which could easily and will probably change by the hour, by the day, depends what we hear, that perception can move us and do things that are not according to what God wants us to do. Let me give an example. You are right now sitting in your house and we're watching here together and we celebrate together. If you are the husband at home, you know, and you have learned that from the Bible, that you are also the priest at home. So you are the spiritual leader at home. So what if you are going to discuss with your wife, and maybe even in front of the children, how devastating that will be, and I'm going to lose my job, and I'm not going to get the income I need, and I'm not going to be able to pay the bills. What do you think, what kind of thoughts you are developing in the minds of your spouse and in the minds of your children? What we need to do is to look at the reality and say, I may not have this, but God's got it. He's got our back. God provides. I was thinking, I tell Sophie this morning, I said, you know, we might have some big interruptions as we do life, because first I thought maybe Friday night we're going to tape it and then we just upload it for you. But I thought, no, my people, they are real people. They want to have it live. So it doesn't have to be polished, has to be nothing like this. Just you talk to me and I talk to you. So then we were talking about, well, what if the dogs in the house all of a sudden get all excited and start barking? And we have windows in this house, and if they see a furry thing running across the lawn, they may, you know, get really excited thinking, oh, there's God's provision for me. They don't worry about, they know that there is something for them. They have never gone to the store to load up on stuff. What they really do is they trust us as their provider. They know there's something, and if they don't have something, we're going to find something. And in Iowa, obviously, where we're living, they always find something. So just in case it will happen, you know what they're after. After God's provision, and they're going to get it. So hopefully it's not going to happen during the time as we live stream here. But if it does, you know why. So coming back to our thing here, very practical, having our thoughts under control. Paul also said that we have to put it under the obedience of Christ. What that means is that we are always laying against that which Jesus Christ told us. Well, we were going to the Gospel of Matthew, and we made it all the way to the middle of chapter 5. But if we would jump a whole chapter, and we go to chapter 6, and we would see that Jesus is talking about not to worry, not to be anxious, but to trust him. If you have your Bible handy, why don't you open it quickly to Matthew, and let's see how Jesus addresses that issue. I don't know what the people were encountering at that time. We don't know, but we do know that probably most of them were not well off. They were common people, peasants, a lot of them. They had to go and do daily work just to have the food on the table. And then Jesus says this, that they should be anxious for nothing. I tell you, he said, be anxious about nothing. About your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? I'm reading out of chapter 6, verse 26, if you have not been able to follow me yet. Then he goes and says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Stop there for a second. The heavenly Father feeds them. How does he do it? They still have to go get it. The birds are going, they cannot lay at home in a nest and say, you know what, I think if God really loves me, he's going to send me another bird who's going to bring me the worm, and then I take the worm away from that bird and then I'm going to eat it. That's not the way that works. Birds are not on a welfare system. They actually work for it. But the way the Heavenly Father provides is he shows them where they can go and get it. And then they go get it. Jesus said, are you not more valued than they? Oh, the answer becomes obvious, we are. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? In other words, Jesus is hinting on something. What our physicians and scientists told us a long time ago, that the more anxious and worried we become, the more we are attacking our immune system. And when we do this, that unseen virus has so much easier, I would say, access to you and can do damage than when you are just trusting God, knowing is the anchor, and don't be anxious about nothing. You cannot add a single hour to your life. As a matter of fact, you're probably shortening it by becoming anxious. He said, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then he says, people who are so worried about these things, he said, they're people of little faith. He said, oh, you have little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? There are two things mentioned here, which are people really anxious about it right now. What shall we eat? And what shall we drink? But Jesus said in verse 32, for the Gentiles, here the word Gentiles means those who are not in the household of God. He said, they seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all the things we have need of, he will provide. He will add. So don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Or we can say to that, oh yes, we got plenty of trouble every day coming our way in form of news feeds and all these kind of things, and how it will impact our personal life and all these things. And I understand. I'm not saying that you should not provide for your home. Absolutely. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs that the wise sees the problem coming and he provides. But providing is different than hiding somewhere or bunkering. I told my wife, we maybe want to call our thing, hey, a message from the bunker. And then, oh, I'm going to live stream from an undisclosed location. But no. We are right in the midst of it, all in this together. What all of us do will affect all of us. We are as a family. We are at victory. We don't have to worry about it. Listen to me. The Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us, who pursued us until we became a part of his family, do you really think that he's going to let us down? No, he will not. He will take care of us. How does he do it? He has all kinds of different children. One has more of this and the other one has more of that. And together we help one another. This is not a time to become selfish. This is a time to be selfless. This is a time when we're going to step up to the plate. We might going to check up on the neighbor and say, how are you doing under these conditions? You say, well, I don't want to be 10 feet close to my neighbor. Didn't they say maybe we should be 6 feet away? Yeah, you can be 6 feet away. That's okay. But you know what? You can call the neighbor or text the neighbor. or yell across the fence if you're in a, you know, in a city and say, hey, how you doing? And when you hear that they are stressed, you can say, do you need anything? And if they share it with you, what the need is, then you say, hey, I might can help you. You can put it in the bag, put it out the front of the porch, and they're going to pick it up, and you will never have to give them a hug. You just provide. Or if they would say, well, I really have no need, I'm in good shape. Say, well, I know something that maybe helps you through these difficult times. Would you mind if I pray for you that God will watch over you and protect you during these days? You may have family members who are not in this town. You have lost total control over the opportunity to have influence on them or be there for them. And yet prayers will reach them wherever they are. You say, well, you know, I really don't want to do that because I got my own problems. Yes, I understand. But you know, the Apostle Paul is teaching us that we actually should live for one another, to help one another. So, there is no better illustration for me to bring the point home what's going on today than the unseen and the seen. Let's look at the unseen quickly for a second. In Ephesians chapter 6, and we all know this scripture verses, we have heard them many, many, many times, Paul is telling us that actually our battle which we fight is a spiritual one, primarily. And he says in chapter 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I think that's maybe a hint not to become cocky and think, I got it all together. I can handle this. I think probably genuine humility will help us a lot more. Our strength is not in us. I just give you an example. Over the last 3-4 years, in our nation, we were hearing people fighting one another over things which you can't find in the headline news any longer. It vanished. It just disappeared. And before they were so passionate about it and say, you better get that. And if you don't do this and you don't that, then you are an enemy of mine. And now all of a sudden, we fight an entirely different enemy. You see how quickly that changes? The same thing is with our knowledge, with what we think we can or cannot do. What we think today is so important to know or to have, all of a sudden doesn't become that important because things have changed. Right now, hopefully none of us is infected with that virus. Hopefully none of us ever will be. But if it will happen, or could happen, to one of our loved ones, we got to be ready to have more than just normal answers. We are fighting these things in the strength of the Lord. That's what Paul is saying. He said, you need to understand. Be strong in the Lord. Know who your God is. Know that he is your anchor. Know that in the midst of the storm, he is there. You need to know that. Not mentally only. You need to believe that. These problems which we are facing right now is not an economic problem only. The economic impact is simply triggered by a real invisible enemy that is playing havoc. I listened to an interview this week on one of the podcasts, and they were interviewing people in my age, actually, in Florida. And they were saying, what are you afraid of? What are you fearful of? And not a single couple in the boomer age said, we are concerned that that invisible enemy, the virus, could get a hold of us. They said, we are not concerned about at all that we could get sick. What are you afraid of then? Well, we are extremely afraid that our stock investment would go down and we couldn't keep the standard of living. Really? Paul says, I want you to know, your strength is not in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Your strength is not in the things which you may have accumulated over the years. Your strength is in the Lord. In the Lord. Once one of us gets infected, or a family member gets infected, you really don't care about and brag about how big your house is, and how many cars you have, and how big your money account is. Now, all you want to see happening is a miracle, that invisible force and power cannot destroy your loved one's lives. That's where Paul said, you have to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Schemes are temptations to think a certain way. Because as a man thinks, so is he. So he will act. What's inside here is going to come out. Just like the virus. If it's inside here, it's going to come out. There will be symptoms coming forth. And he says, these are schemes. These are things he does behind the scene, which we can't see. And we think we're going in the right direction, but we can go in the wrong direction. Then he says, I want to tell you something. You have to withstand the schemes of the devil because they are spiritual. We are not wrestle against flesh and blood. You might want to think that over really well. Because there are so many temptations right now we are facing. Choosing sides. Okay, who is doing a good job? Who is not doing a good job? To whom should I listen to? There are so many voices right now out there. There are obviously our political leaders, our military leaders, our medical leaders. They all have something to say to us. They all want to say something. Some things they say we like. Others they say we don't like. But you know what? There are other voices out there too. In the Christian communities. They are posting things right now like mad and said, the world is coming to an end. This is it. This is what Revelation says. We are going down. We're going down. It's like somebody who just discovered that the ship takes on water. We're going down. Why don't you plug that hole? Schemes. These are schemes. I don't know what the future holds. You don't know either. I do know what the Lord has said, what's going to come upon this earth before Jesus returns. You know what? I'm more concentrating on the fact that he is returning. How are we going to get there? I need his help. I need his wisdom. I need his guidance. I need his provisions. I need his protection. And I always go back to him. You do that. The same thing. You have the same need like I have. We all have that need. So then Paul goes on to say, I tell you what, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen, the people are not our enemies. Oh, I know, Satan can use them. But we are wrestling against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Let me say it this way. There's a huge battle going on, not just in this nation, but around the world, to bring in chaotic situations. Because Satan knows if he can introduce chaos, we are not acting anymore like images of God are supposed to be acting. We're acting more like animals trying to get what we can get our hands on. That's not where we want to be. We want to keep calm. If there's anybody to keep calmness, it's going to be the born-again believers, those who know Jesus, those who have deep roots in the Lord, those who understand that that battle is not going to be won in one day. We may lose a few battles here and there, but I guarantee you, my friends, we're not going to lose the victory. The victory has been won. It's done. We have to stand firm in that knowledge. And we have to hang on for dear life to the words Jesus spoke, and a little bit less to the words the world are right now projecting. What can we expect in the near future? I don't know. But I think the way we look at the world today, it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better. How are we going to handle it? Philippians is telling us in chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. I hold it down for me here. And may God will supply every need of yours according to his riches. God has storehouses full of riches, and he will supply every need, not what we want, but need, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then Paul said, because of that, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, he said, I want you to understand, if you get a hold of that, that he will supply all our needs, he has all his people in place, he said, then he's doing it to the glory of our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets all the glory out of that. So how does that look in practicality? Well, one of me can say is, you know, how do I gonna get what I need? I think my first approach probably would be praying to God. You say, well, praying doesn't give me what I need. No, but it gives you an ear in God who knows what you need. And when you go and pray to God, God knows that one of his children is coming with a need, and he has the answer for it. He may talk to others who are going to be used. It may be you he's going to use to fill a need in somebody else. The church has to adapt, and I think it's good. I think it's very good. I think it's good when we are being shaken a little bit and the status quo and the things we've always done it that way is disturbed. That's actually very good. As a matter of fact, I think so much so that learning new ways to communicate and to help one another and to be engaged in one another's life is never bad. As a matter of fact, church history is telling us that the greatest expansion of the kingdom happened once persecution came into Jerusalem, where the early first church was established. And the disciples had to move. And they moved out. And what do you think they did? They brought the good news with them. And so many people who would have never heard it before did hear it because of the hard times. I think that's a good example for you and me to live by it. We want to spread the good news. Some people ask me during the week, Pastor, since we are not going to get together anymore in the facility, how are we going to do things? How are we going to help one another knowing the needs? Do we need to post it? I said, I think the best way is pray about it. What an excitement if God shows it to you where the need is in a other person's life and you actually can be used by it. Some people ask me, Pastor, how are we going to do the giving? My elder said, so how are we going to pay the bills? I said, well, it's no big deal. People still have jobs. People still have money. Last time I looked, a dollar is still worth something. We still can buy some things. If you want to support the church, you're part of the church family, you can send it to Victor Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 8, and we're going to get it. If you say, I don't want to send any money in a check or anything, not a problem. Don't send any cash money, by the way. But you can go on our website, bcfj.org, and you can see that donate, and you can donate right there online. You can do that too. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you, I am not nervous about anything when it comes to that. God has well prepared us for this season. We have been so blessed. We knew things are going to somehow change. None of that surprises us. And we as the leadership in the church, we prepared properly. We have made sure that we are not, if we have for a month no income or hardly any income, that we are going to close our doors. No, we will not. We can trim our lifestyle a little bit. We can make it happen in a way that we are making the decision to trim down a little bit. Or maybe we'll be forced to do it. There are two ways to do it. I always say I would love to make the own decision to do my according to what I plan, where we should cut. than when I'm being forced to. So, but use God's wisdom in those difficult times. Never promise anything to anyone which you cannot give. Don't make foolish decisions. Be wise. Be here for one another. This is not a time to play. This is a time to pray, to stay in contact with the Lord. And we will come out on the other end very victorious. The church as a whole has gone through many challenges. Always came out victorious. This time is no different. Listen, when the dust has settled in this area, when this is all over, the church still stands. I would like to end this podcast with a simple statement that reflects the truth. When everything is said and done, my friends, what does Jesus say, who is ruling and reigning on this earth? It is Him with His family, with His church. Those whom He called out, those whom He protected, those whom He brought safely home. That's us. That's us. We have eternity ahead of us, and our future looks brighter than our past. Keep that in mind, our friends. It's so important. Remind yourselves every day of this truth. So before we go off, we have prepared one more song like we always do. We normally end our service with a worship song to praise God and thank Him for it. As we do that, let me share with all of you, if you have any questions, if you have any suggestions, please don't hesitate to give us a call at the church office. Arya Sophie has the phone right with her. She will answer. Isn't that awesome? Modern technology. But you also can email us and say, or you can text me, have a suggestion, or I may have a need, or we are not afraid to get questions. We want to be here for you. We want to help you through this time. This time is a time of being glued together as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord Jesus bless you, guide you, protect you, and give His wisdom to you in every decision you make. Husband, you are the priest in the home. You are the one who takes the family together. I would suggest to you a very practical thing to do. If you've never done it before, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will help you. Open the Bible and read something from the Bible with your family. Take the family together. Pray with them. If you're a single mom, you can do that too. By default, you are the head of the household. Lay your hands on your children. Bless them. Encourage them, strengthen them, show them by example that your trust is not in the worldly powers. Your trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a time right now which you probably will never get back again, where you can spend so much time with your family and show them that you want to lead them closer to Jesus. And through it, you may yourselves get drawn closer to Him. And what a blessing that is. Well, my friends, let's finish it out with thanking the Lord. And then you can worship one more time in your home. Have the presence of the Lord. Enjoy this day. Take a day just talking about the Lord and enjoying one another and praising Him. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this time You've given us. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for encouraging us every day. Lord, may we be drawn to be feeding off of Your word and not of worldly words. Lord, may You give us a peace that passes truly all understanding. Lord, have Your protection over every one of our family members, young and old. Keep us safe, keep us sound, and Lord, Give us the wisdom we need in every decision we have to make. Also, give us the desire, Lord, to be available to whatever you have for us to do, so we can bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all can say, Amen. And as we would do in the church, I would say, please stand and let's worship the Lord. God bless you, my friends. Have an awesome and blessed week. And I see you next week. Same channel, same time. God bless you.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my day. Yes, I will. God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will. And I choose to pray. Glorify, glorify the name of all. Choose to pray.